Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Telephone number to be with me on the show. If you got a gardening question or a landscaping question, a tree question, we talk a lot about trees. Pest problems, pest issues, if you have good reports, problems, whatever. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We talk about gardening and landscaping from the natural organic standpoint. And I'm going to get right back to the phones after telling you a couple of quick things. First, that this hour is brought to you by the Organic Club of America. And you can go to dirtdoctor.com, click on the green button there on the left, and find out all about the benefits and the minimal cost involved in it what all it's about. And we'd love to have you join. Getting a copy of one of my books, The Organic Manual, is one of the things that you can get by joining at a certain level. And the other thing is our book is out, the Organic Lawn Care book. Surprised everybody and came out early. And it is available. We put the information, it's right on Facebook, right at the top of the page, so it's convenient for you to find, and it'll take you over. You can find the information on our website as well. UT Press, publisher, also selling it, but you can find it at the typical places. Bob Webster was telling me on his show yesterday they have it in stock in San Antonio, so it's out. It may be in your regular garden center or bookstore already. If not, mail order through the usual channels will work. It's a small book that just covers the organic program that we recommend for turf grasses, and covers all the turf grasses, both cool season stuff, people in the north, and the southern grasses as well. And speaking of grass, before I go back to the phones here, need to tell you about this, and I guess this is a new report that came out. It's a little bit, I'm thinking it's brand new stuff. GMO grass. As if the world's most widely used poison, Monsanto's Roundup, didn't already pose a huge public health threat, now Monsanto and Scotts have teamed up to market Roundup Ready Kentucky Bluegrass, genetically engineered to withstand massive doses of Roundup. You probably won't buy it, but what's to stop the commercial landscapers from using it just about anywhere? And the answer is nothing, because it's totally unregulated. Scott's new GMO grass poses two critical dangers. One, it will lead to even more widespread use of poisons that scientists are making us, and especially our children, sick. And two, it will spread, contaminating everywhere in sight, including pastures of organic farmers. They've been testing this stuff for some time. They've gotten around a bunch of rules and regulations because they're saying some interesting things, that pests are not involved, and they are zapping it rather than doing the usual crossbreeding of and this genetic modification. They're doing it by just zapping the genes into this Kentucky bluegrass. Glyphosate, one thing about Roundup, you may or may not know, you should, because I talk about it all the time. It says glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, was recently described by researchers as the most biologically disruptive chemical in our environment, and I agree with that because of what it does to the gut biology. It also says here it's been linked to a litany of health disorders and diseases, including Parkinson's, cancer, and autism. And there's a lot of data on this if you're hearing this for the first time. Recent study showed that the toxic herbicide was found in the breast milk of American women, you know, minor problem. Says, this is interesting, this month employees of Scotts began testing the new product at their homes. Scott, CEO, told shareholders his goal is to have the GMO, genetically modified organism, ready for commercial applications in 2015. One of the scary things about this is that bluegrass has real fine seed. And so when this treated seed flowers and the pollen and the seed get moved around, this stuff can potentially and will be popping up all over the place. So not good news there. Let's get back to the phones. Danny is next up in Waco, Texas. Hi, Danny.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I listened to a long time and tried something this year that I've never tried before, is bare rooting trees.
Okay.
The first go around, I lost every one of them, but I think that was due to the ice, the two ice storms that we got down here.
Well, it could have been. What kind of trees were they, Danny?
Red maples.
Red maples. What kind of red maples?
They came from a tree farm in Michigan. I'm not really for sure on that.
Okay, you ordered them bare rooted?
Yes, sir. And the first time I planted in January when they were dormant, and they kindly replaced all of them. So I put 12 more in the ground yesterday.
Okay. Well,
they're budding out.
They'll probably be fine. I would guess there may have been some freeze damage or something like you suggested the first time around. But one of the problems is when you buy maples, red maples from a northern grower, they may or may not be very well adapted here. That's why I was asking where they were Drummond red maples or just exactly what kind they were.
I think the label wasn't real specific, but
okay.
I may not pay attention.
Okay. Make a note, next time you want to plant some maples, look for Drummond red maple is one that is adapted to this part of the world, and it can take more moist soil. It's pretty good, but that's real good, really. And then one that's the best is called Big Tooth maple, and it really does beautifully here. There's one called Trident maple that is an import from China, same areas where crepe myrtles and, you know, Shantung maple, which is another possibility. Shantung and Trident both come from parts of Asia, but they are, like crepe myrtle, very well adapted here, even though they're not native. So if you go the maple route again, you might look at those. What is your question about the current ones? Are they looking like they're getting in trouble again?
No, these look fine so far. And okay. The only thing I've done different this time is I received them Friday, you know, let them soak overnight in the Garrett juice.
Okay.
And put them in the ground. The last time they didn't get to soak as long.
Well, that shouldn't have caused their demise. I think you probably guessed it right. Maybe they just got shocked by the weather, but coming from a northern nursery, it seems like they shouldn't have been that shouldn't have been a problem, but it could have happened.
Well, that was kind of what I was thinking, is that they started budding out too early and then they got covered with ice.
Well, the ice really isn't a problem. A lot of people think ice is, but ice actually is an insulator. When you have ice on the plant, you kind of keeps it at 32 degrees. So what really hurt our plants down here, and it might have been what killed your little trees, is that we went from 80 degrees to 15 in a day.
Right.
You know, that tremendous change, and they may have gotten warm in shipping, or they may have, you know, been in the warm temperature for a little bit of time before the temperature dropped. Well, hopefully your new trees will do well. Just use the organic program of fertilizer, not too much fertilizer for trees, and don't overwater them and don't let them get totally dried out, and you should be fine.
Well, I try to water a mixture of about 2.5 gallons a tree of Garrett Juice Plus once a week.
Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot of watering. So
too much, okay.
Yeah, get a golf club, break the head off of it, and probe the soil around the tree. And if it let it dry out pretty much on the surface before you don't let the leaves wilt or anything, but let it dry out, let it pulse. We want the air moving into the drier soil and then being pushed out when the moisture comes in. That breathing, that pulsing is really beneficial. You don't want to keep them, you know, really, really wet all the time.
Okay. I appreciate your help.
Appreciate the call. Good luck. Keep us posted. Let's see what Ellen is in. The open line for you now is 866-444-3478. Hello, Ellen.
Yes, this is Ellen in Arlington. I have a question about a wisteria plant.
Okay.
About a week after that freeze, suddenly between Sunday night and Monday morning, the top half of my wisteria plant just turned brown, like you just sprayed it with fire or something. It just turned totally brown, and I was puzzled because at the bottom of the plant, it was still green and nice.
Well,
and I happened to be at the Kimball Art Museum a couple of days later, and they had the same problem with their wisteria in their little inner atrium.
Did they? Okay. You probably guessed it. It was probably that tremendous change of temperature and the the tip probably in that 80-degree weather was trying to – the buds were swelling. It was trying to grow. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I think the quick change of temperature killed the wisteria. Howard Garrett, be back right after this. Crazy water is so good and good for you, it's crazy. Crazy water is what I drink, and you should too. Deep underground, Mother Nature infuses crazy water with the perfect mix of over 11 dissolved minerals for the health of your body. You can get all the crazy water you need at HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and find a store in your area. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy water, so good, it's crazy.
Whether you are getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, flying to a business meeting, or just visiting friends, don't risk ruining your trip by neglecting to protect your digestive health. Pack award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, one of the best lines of defense against traveler's tummy. Dr. O'Hara's convenient blister packs are portable and never need to be refrigerated, perfect for traveling. Backed by over 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics use 12 strains of live, beneficial bacteria, combined in a centuries-old Japanese fermentation process. The result is a superior supplement that enhances immunity and digestion, which helps reduce the risk of getting sick while traveling. Stay healthy while traveling and remember to pack your probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics.
Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we've got some open lines, so jump on here and let's chat at 1-866-444-3478 in Irving, Texas. Here's Joyce. Hi, Joyce.
I've got a question on chiggers. I tuned in last week when you were discussing them, and you mentioned some plant to grow, but I didn't have a pencil ready, and I forgot the what the plant was before I could write it down.
Well, there's the plant that will help you repel red bugs or chiggers is called horse mint or lemon mint. It's a native to this part of the world wildflower. It's real pretty. It's real easy to grow. You can grow it from seed, and maybe you could buy transplants of it as well, I guess. It's a Monarda, and it has really very pleasant fragrance, and you can pull the foliage or flowers off of it, either one, and rub it on your skin or clothing, and it works as well, or in some cases better than sulfur and some of the other things that when used too much can cause a contamination, you know. So anybody that sells wildflowers will have it. It's a fairly common one. It's in my book, the Herbs for Texas, and we probably put the same entry about it on the website on dirtdoctor.com. If not, I'll add that to the website.
Good. I think I already have some growing, but I didn't know.
It's fairly common. Having it growing on the property, I think, probably gives you some benefit and help anyway. It's very pleasant, helps to attract beneficial insects, and has all kinds of attributes.
Very good. Well, thank you, Howard.
I appreciate it. Thanks
okay.
for calling.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
And, it's a good one. Planting all kinds of wildflowers, I think, is a good idea, having as much biodiversity as you can. The natives are great and probably the best way to go, but planting some introduced things from time to time is good as well. And we do that. We have, for example, a lot of larkspur. I plant larkspur in the fall. This past year, I did not. I just let it come back from the seed that it produced itself. And it was interesting. It It was pretty. In fact, it might even be better in some ways the way I've got it along our borders and all. It wasn't quite as tall. Part of that had to do with, you know, droughty conditions that we've had, and we don't water a whole lot. But it definitely did not get as tall as it did last year. So what I'm going to do this next time, we'll plant it in the fall. That's the ideal time to plant larkspur. I'm going to plant some areas with new seed and just leave the other. What we do when we harvest it, when it starts looking pretty ratty, we pull the plants out and we strip the seed pods and leave the seed on the ground. So we'll do that in all cases again, but I'll get some new seed, which you can buy in bulk in a lot of cases, and it's more cost effective, and put some new fresh seed out too, and we'll see whether those areas where we planted the new fresh seed will be bigger, stronger plants than the ones that just reseeded from the existing plants or not. It'll be kind of a neat little experiment to do. One, David's getting somebody new lined up, and we still have an open line if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. Last week I told you a little bit of a story about the snakes in my pond in our decorative water feature with our koi. And we found one of the snakes. I knew I had two big snakes in there. I'd seen them. I hadn't been able to catch them like Daryl had suggested. But last week we found one out in the grass digesting one of our fish. And that one met its demise because we couldn't tolerate that anymore. And I haven't seen the other one since, except in a very strange way. And I'm not sure that it was the same water snake. It could have been a rat snake, but here's how we saw it the other day. I went out to the dog run. Our dog run and greenhouse is the same building. They actually have free run of the experimental greenhouse. They go in through a dog door. So I went out to the dog run. I was walking out, and Tater, the little white dog, comes bursting out of the dog run, the dog door. And right between his legs, or kind of slithering along with him, is a 3-foot snake. And it was either the other one of the water snakes or a rat snake, like I said. He took off very quickly and went through the fence and down the creek, down through the bamboo into the creek. Tater looked at him like he didn't even notice he was there, like he was kind of a buddy. We don't feed the dogs in the dog run anymore because of, you know, rodent issues and raccoons and possums and all kinds of critters that we have back there. So we always feed them in the house. So there's no dog food that the snake could have been after. We haven't seen any rodents in there in a long time. So I don't know if the snake just came in to visit with Tater or what was going on. But anyway, that was the latest. I wish I had gotten a picture of it. I didn't have my phone with me and wasn't so I wasn't able to get a photograph of it, but it was pretty funny. Tater and the snake. Let's see what else I was going to tell you about in Howard's garden. We have planted now our caladiums. If you haven't done that yet, you need to go ahead and think about getting that done. We plant primarily white ones because we have so much shade, it really brightens up the garden. And those have been put in. You can put in some now, and you can wait a few weeks or even a month and put in another round that will last a little longer into the fall if you want to go that route. We also have planted our begonias now, the dragon wing begonias, the other color that we have in our shade. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back with you right after this.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we've got a full board now, so we'll jump right back on. But one more final thing to tell you about. Those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, anyway, yesterday I took my nephew Austin to the Byron Nelson, and we watched Jordan Spieth and several of the other guys play some huge crowds, both at the Nelson and the Colonial both this year. And I think he's, and some of the other young players, some of the reasons why for that increase. But we parked when we went to the tournament in what's called Farrington Field, which will be on the information that you see if you're going to go to the tournament. And there's two places to park, Farrington Field and the other is TCU. Go to the TCU lot. Yesterday, Farrington Field was jam-packed and took forever, and there was nobody at the TCU parking area. So if you're going over there, go to that one. Hopefully it didn't. I think it was the press – they were putting in their on their website and in the newspaper and everything to go to Farrington Field because TCU lot is smaller and will fill up quicker. And everybody went to Farrington Field, so hopefully it won't be switched around on you today when you go out there. But enjoy it. It might get rained out, but I doubt it. Doesn't look like it's coming that way that strong. Marlon in Duncanville next up. Hey, Marlon.
Hi. I have a question. I'm getting snail seed vines in my iris beds, and the leaves just crawl up and just cover the whole plants. How can I get rid of the snail seed vines? They come from my neighbor.
Well, let me give you some bad news about that plant, Marlon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst weed that I have on my properties. And we've got it. We had it in the beds at the office when we bought the place, and we just continue to work on it. You've probably noticed if you pull the top off, it just comes right back from the bottom. What you have to do, and it's really tough when it's in a bed like yours, is to use some hand tools and dig down and get the woody reproductive stem system and roots that are in the ground. You've got to get it all pulled out or it just keeps coming back. Even if I recommended toxic chemicals, there's nothing that would kill, you know, the entire plant if you put it on the foliage or anything. There's no organic spray or control that would do it either. So the only way you can control that very pretty but very invasive vine is to physically remove it.
I tried high-percentage vinegar last year, and it killed the leaves.
It'll kill the top, and that's all. Yeah, same thing with any chemicals that you would try would do only the foliage.
Okay.
You have to dig it out, and as it grows back, you have to continually pull it off. We've been dealing with ours for several years, and it had such huge stems and root system that it has really taken a long time to just begin to get it under control.
Yeah, some of the roots are as big as my little finger.
Yeah, you've got to dig down in there and get them pulled out. And the other thing about controlling Carolina snail seed is to not ever let it go to flower and seed, because every one of those seed germinates and comes up and gives you just more and more trouble. It's too bad. It's a pretty vine, but there's just nothing more invasive than it is.
Yeah. Oh, well, I grew up on a farm, so I'm used to work.
Okay. Good luck.
All right.
If you come up with some other idea that works, let me know, okay?
All righty. I'll do that.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
There is one more plant, I guess, besides bamboo that's even more invasive than that plant, and we've got it, too. Unfortunately, I planted it originally in a very small area in our garden, and it has come up all over the place. I'm leaving it, probably mistakenly leaving it, in a couple of areas. And it's in full bloom right now. I think I may have a picture. I'll put it on Facebook for you here in a little bit. It's called Hootenia. Some people call it the Hootenanny plant. It's a Thai herb. It has a real strong fragrance, and it's used in some Thai recipes. And you know, liked by some people. It's way too strong for me. But it spreads by seed and by underground stems just worse than anything you've ever seen. And if you've got it in grass, I think that the AgriLawn crabgrass killer would take it out. But if it's out in beds and things like we were just talking about, the Carolina snail seed, about all you can do is physical removal of it, too. The vinegar will burn it and kill it pretty good. And if you have a big mass of it and you can spray a whole area, the fatty acid products like Scythe or Monterey would work. The vinegar sprays would work pretty well if you sprayed two or three times, probably. But the surefire way, once again, is physical removal. Anne in Fort Worth next up. Hey, Anne.
Hello, Doctor, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about my Crookneck squash. They're coming on plentifully. They look beautiful, you know, healthy. But my little squash, they look anemic. Actually, they don't fill out. When they're little, they look nice and everything, but as they get bigger and bigger, they just, like, they're stuck in from the inside. They don't fill out. What is that problem?
Well, it can be two things. It can be some pollination issues. You need bumblebees around to help pollinate the squash. And one of the things that we have, Malcolm and I put in our vegetable gardening book, we showed a picture of taking the male flowers and dabbing them onto the female flowers, literally, you know, pollinating the plants. A lot of times when the fruit starts and then just shrivels and doesn't develop, that's a pollination problem. It can also be a disease issue. And if it's a disease issue, what you need to do is add to your, and you might want to do this anyway because it'll be good, have good fertility value, spray one of the Garrett juice products or make your own mix, and into it add some cornmeal juice. And the way you make cornmeal juice is you put a cup of whole ground cornmeal in a 5-gallon bucket of water.
Right.
And let it sit for, you know, 30 minutes or longer and strain the solids out, add that, and spray it. It's a disease control that works very well. You could also add, like we do with rose rosette and other really tough diseases, you could add a little bit of hydrogen peroxide to the mix as well.
I don't see any disease issues at this time, you know.
It's probably just pollination then. And one other thing that I might suggest to you, we got a terrific tip a few months ago from one of the listeners about squash bugs and squash vine borers and what they said they had done differently than they'd ever done before, and it was the first time they didn't have problems with those pests. They had mixed diatomaceous earth, natural diatomaceous earth, into the bed preparation, into the soil.
And I've been sprinkling that around.
Well, what you might try, and you may have to have it incorporated in the soil for best results, but what you could do now is just cover the ground solid white with the natural DE and fork it in and work it in around the plants. The reason that it probably works is that it's providing available silica to the plants.
Oh.
And that's helping to give the plants this natural pest resistance. It's not killing the pest or anything. When it's down on the ground, it doesn't have any dehydrating power at all. All it's doing is providing some trace minerals, some calcium, if it's one of the DEs that has calcium, but high levels of silica and silica dioxide is the main ingredient in natural diatomaceous earth. So you might give that a try, see if it works on existing plants, and then next year when you plant, add some to the bed preparation before they go in.
And I have one more quick question.
Okay.
Some of my onions I'm letting go to be big onions, and they get this all dip stem that comes up the middle, and on the top it's got this little pouch, and it bursts open, and it's got these beautiful little seed heads on it. What I would like to know is, those little seed heads, if you plant them, will you get little baby onions? Take your own set.
Well, that's a good question. The onion seed is actually black little seed that are inside of those little nodules. And garlic is like onions. Sometimes the flowers produce seed and sometimes they don't. So you'll just have to see. But the seed that you're looking for, if you ever buy onion seed, actual seed, not the, you know, little onion sets and transplants and everything, but if you buy actual onion seed, it's a black, little black seed.
Are they easy to germinate and grow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just takes longer to get a crop. People that grow onions from seed usually plant them and start them in a protected environment in the fall and then grow their own little transplants to set out, you know, late winter, early spring, like you would go to the grocery store and buy. You can grow those yourself from the seed.
Oh.
See what I mean? Okay.
Great information. Thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Here's Tom in Irving next up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Howard. How do you control roaches or prevent roaches in your house?
Well, it is fairly easy to control roaches, really. They're kind of goofy. They like to get into things they shouldn't get into. We have the company EcoSafe come and help us, and they use boric acid products and some baits that contain abamectin, which is really effective, and I don't have a problem with it if it's into the organic program really well. They put it out in little pastes, spots here and there, and they feed on it, and it does them in very well. It also works on ants. The other way to go is on our website, on the homepage under guides, we've got all the formulas that I recommend.
Yes.
And we've got some formulas in there for roach baits that are basically sugar and boric acid mixed together.
Uh-huh.
And years ago when we were recommending those kind of things and using them and having some good results and everything, somebody recommended to me to use Arm & Hammer detergent mixed together with a little sugar. I think the original recommendation was something like 50-50 mixture and put it in a jar or put in a lid or something like that. And they're attracted to it and eat it, and it kills them. You'll see after you use it, and, of course, it's a totally non-toxic kind of a thing. After you put out baits of the Arm & Hammer detergent, it probably has some boric acid in it, would be my guess, one reason it works so well. But after you put it out, you're going to actually see more roaches for a while. You're going to see them kind of staggering around and bubbling at the mouth. But they like it, and it does them in. We've had a lot of reports about it working very well. You can add just a tiny pinch of boric acid to it, not too much to change the taste, and it's even more effective.
Thank you so much, Howard.
Appreciate your call very much. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. 866-444-3478. We're going to go to North Richland Hills and talk to Charles. Hey, Charles.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I've got three big apricot trees, and this year they were just loaded with apricots, and then they just got little black spots all over them, and most of my apricots fell off, and I'm not sure where the ones I got left would be safe to eat. I was wondering if I could find out what causes that and if there's something I could do next year to prevent it.
Well, it's probably fungal, Charles, and I don't think it'd be harmful for you to eat if it hadn't fouled up the fruit inside. It's unusual to get a good crop. The apricots are the toughest to grow, and a lot of times we have late freeze damage to them. If you do have a good crop, a lot of times the birds and the squirrels and the raccoons and possums get them. So it's unusual to have a good crop and get any at all. I don't think there'd be anything dangerous. What you need to do if you didn't before is do a little bit more regular spray program of Garrett Juice. Our organic fruit and pecan tree program is on the website under guides. If you looked at that and used any part of that in the past?
No, I use a lot of Garrett Juice, but more as a fertilizer than a spray on the plants. But these are big trees. It's the first year they've made apricots, but they're about 5 years old. But like you say, apricots is
they're tough,
rare
yeah.
to ever seem
That's
to
right.
set fruit. And my mouth was really watered, and then they got this black spot. So,
well, I don't think it'd be anything dangerous. Just cut the spots off, and as long as the meat inside's still good, you should be fine. My point is, for next year's crop, just use the Garrett juice, since you're familiar with it anyway, and spray the trunk and the foliage and the whole deal. The first spraying is actually at pink bud before, you know, the buds open, and then the second spraying is after the flowers have fallen. And if you do that on something that's kind of, you know, tough to grow like apricots, it's really worth the effort.
There's one other question I wanted to ask you. I have an avocado tree in my greenhouse.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a hash, H-A-S-S.
Okay.
And it's bloomed the last couple of years, but it hadn't set fruit. And I was looking on the computer, and it seemed like you need a pollinator, but it never made it real clear of what type of avocado tree I needed to pollinate this one. It seems like avocados, you have to have a certain one for a certain type of tree.
I haven't grown avocados, so you're asking me an interesting question. I'll look into that and see. You may have to have a pollinator. You also have to have full sun. That's a tree that wants to be out in full sun all day long. So in the greenhouse, you need to make sure you have as bright a light as possible. The Garrett juice, and again, you're familiar with it, but it used in the soil and as a foliar spray will help set buds and fruit better than anything you can use.
So spray it right.
Yeah, put it on the foliage as well as in the soil. Plenty of sunlight, and then we'll all check on this whether they need another tree or two for pollination.
I was looking in the computer, and it seemed like they need another tree. But what really confusing is they have like A and B pollinating trees. Seems like the avocado, it makes male flowers and female flowers, but you have to have a tree that does the morning or the evening. And so it was real confusing to try to figure out what type would go with this particular type. If you could find out for me and have it on the radio, I listen to you all the time, I'd sure appreciate it.
Well, I love avocados, and I ought to know more about them myself.
Yeah,
I'll look into it and get back to you.
Get where I could grow fruit here year-round. You know, I've always wanted to just step out my back door and pick delicious things. And I called you about a year ago, and you suggested a place where I could get some. And now I've got all sorts of these strange tropical fruit trees that bloom all time of year. So
that's great.
I'm hoping eventually to
fruit
all year long. I've got some star fruit.
That's great. Did you go to the place down near South Padre Island?
Uh-huh, that's where I got my star fruit tree
and some
of my other tropical trees. But trying to find out information about how to get them to pollinate and everything is hard to
Well, you're doing good. You're ahead of me on this, but I'll look into it, and we'll get some information together and get on Facebook and the website too.
Oh, I sure appreciate your help.
Thank you, Charles.
You have a good one.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Let's go to Flower Mound and talk to Doris next. Hey, Doris.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm calling because I have red yuccas, three beautiful plants that I've had for 4 years, and they've bloomed beautifully every year with more of those really pretty red stalks coming out. This year, nothing. And I've not changed anything about how I take care of them. They're in my native/drought-tolerant bed. So plenty of drainage, plenty of full sun, not overwatering. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
Well, those Hesperalos, you know, it's not a true yucca, probably got some freeze damage. I'll bet you anything that when we had that period where and it happened twice, I think the second one was more dramatic. You know, we went from 80 degrees down to 15, 17, 18, whatever it was. And I bet you that the buds for the new flower stalks got zapped.
Oh, man.
And if that's the case, there's nothing you can do. All you can do is just continue to maintain your organic program. And they're either going to flower or they're not. And maybe they'll come out late. Maybe they won't come out till next year.
Okay. So, you know, a ton of red yuccas all in the Flower Mound area, uh-huh. and they all seem to be blooming. Is it possible that some plants are just more effective than others?
They got more cold, or they may be flowering later. Let me talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, will be back third hour after this.